Our scripture today is John chapter 12, verse 20 through 36. Please use the red pew Bible to follow along, page 1065. If you're using the large print, it's on page 1671. John chapter 12, starting in 20th verse. The message is entitled, The Hour Has Come. And this scripture comes right after Jesus entered Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, first day of Holy Week. Verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida to Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to them. Jesus says, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present Lord, thank you for your holy, inspired word, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. Lord, I pray, God the Holy Spirit upon us now, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive what you desire to reveal, and that this preacher not get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hour has come. Think about it. This hour. From the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the issue of his time is on his mind. At the wedding feast in Cana, his mother tells him that they have run out of wine. And Jesus, this is one of my favorite phrases of Jesus. Jesus says to his mother, he says, woman, why involve me? My hour has not yet come. My mom would have smacked me. But now in Jerusalem, in his final week, his hour has come. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world at the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the beginning of time to this particular time and place, the one through whom all things were made has taken on human flesh and dwelt among us for this hour. After the great palm parade into Jerusalem, we find this announcement made in response to the request from some Greeks who had gone to worship at the Passover feast. They wanted to see Jesus. What did they mean by that? They could have been in the crowd shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." But it seems they meant something more than mere observing Jesus. There's a hymn, "We Would See Jesus." It's in a couple different hymnals. This one's not in our hymnal. "We would see Jesus, for the shadows lengthen across this little landscape of our life. We would see Jesus, our weak faith to strengthen, for the last weariness, the final strife. We would see Jesus, the great rock foundation, whereon our feet were set with sovereign grace. Nor life, nor death, with all their agitation, can thence remove us if we see his face. We would see Jesus, other lights are paling, which for long years we have rejoiced to see. The blessings of our pilgrimage are failing. We would not mourn them if we go to thee. We would see Jesus. This is all we're needing. Strength, joy, and willingness come with the sight. We would see Jesus, dying, risen, pleading. Then welcome day, and farewell, mortal night." So it appears that a crowd has gathered around the Greeks, or Jesus was amongst the crowd and the Greeks were brought to him. In either case, the Jews in Jerusalem, other than the Pharisees, are eagerly awaiting Jesus to be crowned King of Israel. And how does Jesus respond? Jesus starts talking about death. He talks about his death. He talks about the death of those that follow him. Now, while we just spent 12 weeks in Ecclesiastes, we heard the constant refrain that death is the common denominator for all humanity. Now here we are in the Gospels, which means the good news, and we are still hearing about death. But this is a different kind of death. This is not a sterile death where the body returns to dust. This is not death as annihilation or void or nothingness. This is a death that brings a harvest. The seed planted in the ground has its outer casing decay, and it releases its life force. When we serve Jesus, this life force brings a harvest. The kingdom is multiplied. When we serve Jesus, we will be constantly in his presence. When we serve Jesus, our heavenly Father will honor us. These are the great promises that we just read. By following Jesus, we are dying to self. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." We view the life in this world as of no value in comparison to the life to come. Yes, we must live in this world, minister in this world, disciple in this world, demonstrate the love of God in this world, but we are not to be of this world. It is the things of the kingdom that we treasure. Now, last Sunday night I was at a wedding, and for the reception I sat next to a 21-year-old man named Matthew. He had never been to church. He doesn't know anything about God. He doesn't know anything about Jesus. Well, now he knows something. See, as we got to know each other, he starts asking me questions, and he asked me if I thought it was possible to live forever. And I said, "Yes, I'm going to live forever." How do we know that? Because right here in this text and many other places, Jesus promises eternal life. Jesus continued. He was deeply troubled within himself, in his innermost being. At Christmas we sing, Mary, did you know? Jesus knew, and he had known. Think about how that demonstrates his love. Jesus gathers his disciples, even the one that would betray him, even the one that would deny him, even the one that would doubt him. These are the ones for whom Jesus would die. Jesus feeds 5,000. Then he feeds 4,000. He casts out demons from the possessed. He heals the blind. The crippled walk. The prisoners are set free. For the leper who was cleansed, who came back and thanked him, and the other nine who did not show the gratitude, Jesus died for them all. King Herod decapitated Jesus' cousin and friend, John the Baptist. The Sanhedrin that illegally convicted Jesus. Those that stripped and beat Jesus. Those that spat upon and mocked Jesus as he carried that Calvary cross. Those that nailed him to the cross. Even the one that pierced Jesus' side. Jesus died for them all. In effect, Jesus was carrying that cross his whole life. You and I would have been so heavily burdened with such knowledge that we would have been crushed. We do not seem to be able to love our enemies, and yet Jesus died for his enemies. While Jesus embraced the little children, this cloud of pain is building on the horizon. Imagine the very worst storm you have ever experienced. Think of the thunder and the rain, the wind and the lightning. Imagine the worst emotional anguish you've experienced, the heartache, the mourning, the depression. Combine them and mix them up. Mix them together and then multiply them by infinity. If on top of that, you knew that you had lived a sinless, perfect life, that you didn't deserve any of it, how would you feel? Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. The cross looms large before Jesus, but the physical pain and death were not to be the worst of it. The spiritual sacrifice was the true crucible. The wrath of God the Father for every sin of commission and omission by all of humankind was boiling in the cup. This is the cup that Jesus bemoaned in the Garden of Gethsemane. As ugly as this picture is that I have painted for you, it is framed in glory. There is glory for the Father. There is glory for the Son. Why? Because this divine sacrifice will bring lost men and women to Jesus. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself, he says. This is the message of that thundering voice of heaven. But it makes no human sense. Who could have conceived it? The crowd spoke up. We don't understand. That's not the way we read the scriptures. They had imposed their finite minds and their failed human desires and their understanding, wanting a human kingdom. Too often, we Christians do the same thing. We try to make the scriptures fit our personal preconceived perceptions. They ask, who is the Son of Man? This is the key question. It is key for all time, and it is key for your eternity. In Daniel, it is the term for the Messiah coming on the clouds. In Ezekiel, it refers to the prophet repeatedly. It is the humble title Jesus claimed more than any other title. Before Jesus and the inner circle of disciples would ascend the Mount of Transfiguration, that same question is asked in a different way. Jesus asked, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here, in this text, we have a parallel lifting up. Here we have a parallel glorification. Here we have a parallel question. Yes, God has glorified his name and will glorify it again. In response to this crowd, Jesus tells them, "Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light." When we die to self and live for God, we become sons and daughters of the light. The Apostle John tells us in the opening verses of this gospel, "And Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus is the true light that gives light to every man. My brothers and sisters, without the light, you and I cannot see. Without the light, we cannot see Jesus. We would see Jesus, and this is from our hymn. We would see Jesus, lo, his star is shining above the stable while the angels sing. There in a manger, on the hay reclining, haste, let us lay our gifts before the King. We would see Jesus, Mary's son most holy, light of the village, life from day to day. Shining, revealed through every task most lowly, the Christ of God, the light, the truth, the way. We would see Jesus on the mountain teaching with all the listening people gathered round, while birds and flowers and sky above are preaching the blessedness which simple trust has found. We would see Jesus in his work of healing at eventide before the sun was set, divine and human in his deep revealing of God made flesh and loving service met. We would see Jesus in the early morning, still as of old he calleth, "Follow me." Let us arise, all meaner service scorning. "Lord, we are thine. We give ourselves to thee." My friends, it was our Heavenly Father's plan from the beginning to send his beloved and only begotten Son. Jesus died to save us from our sin and from death. And through faith in his finished work on the cross, on that Calvary cross, we have eternal life that starts in the here and the now. Have you seen my Jesus? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Most holy, precious Father, we thank you for this record of what your Son has done for us, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, though we didn't deserve it, you loved us. Though we couldn't earn it, Jesus paid it all. We thank you that we can be sons and daughters of the light. For in that light is life. The life that is eternal. The light of Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.